So I'm going to share some of the journey that we've been on, God's direction for us in missions, and talk about ministry in Japan. And for the second session, Fiona's going to share something that God has put on her heart for this conference, in sharing some of the stories about individuals and people that we're ministering to in Japan. But first, a quick trip down memory lane. Don't you like that? Down memory lane. How did I get to this point here to stand before you today doing what I'm doing? What's my life journey? Obviously, God transforms lives and takes people from A to B, but there's so much that goes A, B, C, D, E, F before you get to Z, right? The journey is long. I grew up in a family, a Christian home with six children. My father was Lutheran, my mother was Baptist, but she had to give way to the Lutheran, the head of the father at the house. Every Sunday I was taken to church, whether I liked it or not. Seeds sown, right? Every school morning I went to a Christian school, so there was school chapel. More seeds sown. I was developing a love for God, an understanding of who God is. You know, when you get to the sort of teenage years, you can kind of get into a little bit of trouble. Who knows that? Well, I don't want to talk too much about that because God, thank goodness, has brought me through that. But I did have to change schools, let me put it that way. And thank God that he took me to an even better school, from a Lutheran background school to a charismatic school. And at first, it really freaked me out. What's this? Are these people wacko? Wacko Jacko? I just couldn't believe, like, what's going on? But not long after graduating, I started to get it in my heart that it's about relationship. It's about a personal relationship through the Holy Spirit and the power, the amazing power of the Holy Spirit. And God did something amazing in my heart. I saw an old friend who I wasn't allowed to see, but once I hit 18... my parents couldn't stop me anymore. So I went and saw this old friend, and his life had been radically transformed. And he said, do you know the power of the Holy Spirit is real? Do you want to meet the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? What's all this? Oh, is that what the hands were on? Oh, connection's starting to happen. And so he took me back, funnily enough, to the church that met at my school chapel. And there was a guest speaker. I don't know who it was. But they said, be expectant to be speaking in tongues. But they didn't tell me to expect a vision of heaven open, of God's love powerfully, like I can see heaven and the reality of the hall around me and heaven just opening up and the power. I can tell you, God's love is real. So powerfully real. The love that just poured out from heaven on me that day. Transformation, I can never say that this is not real. My friends, this is so real, like breathing the air you're breathing now. The history, the power, the love that God has for us and the world and the nations. Anyway, life went on. And soon I was engaged to be married, and it was a long engagement. But I was also studying opera at the time. To be an opera performer. I always grew up with a good singing voice, and my parents used to say, you know, you have to sing. And I loved singing. But my engagement broke off. My life started falling apart. And yeah, I know, she says yay, right? Amen. Who knows that God had something better in store? God had something better planned. And I saw something that was good. But then there's God. We can think good, but then there's God. And God is the only true good, right? And so our plans, the good plans that we can put together that we think are good, God can tear apart because he loves you, because he's got better for you. So this is why when we're walking around in the desert, some people go, God, where are you? And some people go, God, thank you for breaking stuff off my life. Thank you for preparing me for the things that you've got for me. Anyway, I'm getting away from my notes. So anyway, the engagement didn't work out. I ended up being 21 and not knowing what to do, where I was meant for, what I was made for in life. So I thought another good idea was to get into business. There was no money in opera, unless you make it number one in your Pavarotti, and I'm not. So I went to business school, and I studied marketing and human resource management with a minor in IT. And anyway, after graduating, I got messed up again by God. Don't you love that? I still wasn't at the place where God wanted me to be. I went on a missions trip to Russia. My first mission trip for Love for Kids Russia. We worked in the summer camps, the Russian summer camps in St. Petersburg, and he messed me up. I came back with such a passion and such a love for the lost. I saw the need, and it radically transformed me from being mediocre, from even having a personal love with God, to having a need to reach people, a desire to reach the lost. And it says in Romans 10, 14 to 15, how then can they call on the name of the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So what a life-altering step. You have to see the world through God's eyes. You have to. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. So after graduating, I looked for a job in my field. Again, thank you, God, unsuccessfully for 12 months. I was getting, you know, really depressed. Because at the time, I didn't understand. I still didn't get it. And so I got a job with a company called Nova, which teaches English in Japan. A friend of mine said, why don't you go on a gap year? Sure, I'll go for work. And guess what? When I got there were no churches that I could be part of. I was so used to being a part of church all my life. And I couldn't find anywhere for 12 months. And then I heard of a new church being planted called Jesus Lifehouse in Tokyo. So I went, and for the next 3 years, I worked with Pastor Rod. I was up here singing praise and worship. I was also doing teaching after services. I was on the resource table helping produce resources and selling resources. So after 3 years, I ended up going back home, still not knowing, you know, where's God taking me? But can you see this? Seeds, 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 seeds. He takes you from A to B to C. And things start growing up in your life. And I start growing up and out. But that's another story. You see, one day I had someone who was a missionary in Kyoto who visited a mutual friend of mine in Tokyo. Her name was Fiona. We met one day. She saw me on a motorbike. We went, saw a movie together, you know, hands in a bowl of popcorn at the same time. With friends. So didn't think anything more of it after that. It wasn't a date or anything. But later on, when I went back home, it just so happened that the church that I became part of was a church supporting her, and I've always been part of missions and on the missions team. So, of course, they said, oh, you know about Japan, and Fiona's, you know, she's on the Japanese field. You know, communicate with her, and, you know, she eventually comes off field, and one thing leads to another. Her brother lives down the road in Roeville, and, of course, she loved this church because they were the ones sending her care packages, and other churches weren't doing that. So she knew the heart of Hills. So she came along, and of course she needed someone to drive her around. Who had a car? I fooled her though. I had an MR2, a lovely sports car at the time. And she goes, oh, he's all right, and he's wealthy. He's got a nice sports car. Little did she know, it was soon to be on blocks for the next 12, 18 months or something. And I had to drive around in my parents' boat. Ford Falcon, 1980s. It was a boat. So anyway, we got married, had two beautiful daughters. And in amongst all of that, God provided us with work that kept developing our skills. And we didn't even know it at the time. Can't even pronounce her job description. But she ended up, you know, in a better paying job than me. And it was always God blessing, 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 blessing. Pay rise, pay rise, pay rise, pay rise. We're always going to go, ha ha, I'm getting more pay than you now. Then she comes back going, ha ha, now I'm getting more pay than you now, right? But even in amongst all of that, God was developing our skills for where we are now. Corporate governance, stakeholder, secretariat, liaison, manager, officer, something or other, right? She can do all the books, lots of admin. She's got a teacher's degree. I did coaching and call center management work and managing teams and things like that. God is developing more seeds and letting different things grow up, because we also need things that are practical too. Anyway, let's get to the more exciting stuff. In amongst all of that, having two children, getting no sleep, was Bible college and all the work that goes into Bible college, I'm sure you know. And eventually this led us to going back to Japan. And we went back to Pastor Rod and said, where are the opportunities? Where does God want us? Because we knew we had this drawing, this innate calling. That's why God put us together. And we just didn't know where. And you know what? And the most amazing thing happened. Again, nobody told us this sort of thing could happen. But God played hot and cold with us. The Holy Spirit, when we went to Tokyo, I was like, yes, this is so good. I'm so used to this. This is what I'm familiar with. You know, so many opportunities here. But it was absolutely frozen cold spiritually. I was like, huh? God, surely I want to convince my wife to come here. Like, what's going on? He's like, no, go south. That's all we got. Go south. So as we went on the rest of our journey, we heard about Luke Kennedy in Kobe, and we went to visit him. He's a friend I worked with, and anyway, so as the further we went south, the further the spirit stirred and burned inside and kept going, go south. And we're like, our trip's all over, God. Where else can we go? We've gone as far south as we planned. He planned for us to go further south. And so we got in touch. When we got to Luke Kennedy, he said, I know somebody who's further south. Don't you love that? I'll put you in touch with him. I got on the phone call with him. Ended up being a half an hour phone call. And he's like, I'm so excited. And something was burning inside me. And I'm like, I don't understand this. But sure, God, if this is what you're saying. And so we went away from that trip going, yes, it's got something to do with one of those islands. So after going home, we kept in touch with this missionary and ended up going on field and working alongside to help him with his ministry, as well as starting a new church service, which led to being transplanted out, started this journey of faith, and began Waka Waka Life Church. Praise God. Praise God. You know, God, over the years, sows seeds in your life. He sows seeds of faith, a journey of faith, especially for us, was in the area of finances. You know, at one point, I've got to watch the time. At one point, I lost my job in amongst all of that. And my senior pastor, he said, do you really need to get another job? Shouldn't you be fundraising to go on field? I'm like, are you crazy? Do you know the bills we've got? He said, I just sense you really need to look at this. I said, okay, not working, contacting pastors all day. It excites me. It didn't excite Fiona, but it excited me. And we prayed about it and we sought God on it. And God said, yes, this is right. And so in the end, there was only a $50 difference for me working, even with all those promotions, between fundraising permanently, full-time, and being at work full-time and not being able to work for God. And sometimes, guys, it looks stupid to give up your job, to give up things, but God has the God thing, not the good thing. Praise God. Because the good thing looks good. But I was able to spend more time with my kids and prepare my kids and get other pastors' heart on board with the calling and do the things necessary that God has asked us to do. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11 says, remember this, Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. So that, why? So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written. Now he quotes, as it is written, they have freely scattered. Scattering. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, there's two, how much is for planting God? How much is for eating God? We've got to get that balance. We've got to make sure we have that in mind. Increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Harvest on earth for more money and things like that? Not necessarily. For your righteousness. Yeah, isn't that good? You will be enriched in every way so that, don't you love the so that's in the Bible? There's a reason for it. You don't stop there. So that. Now I've lost my place. So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Not to me, not to you, to God. And right now in Japan, we have people giving praise and thanking God because of your generosity. And we thank you for your generosity that has resulted in so many people's lives transformed and changed with thanksgiving to God. Okay, 5 minutes left. Right, the ministry. Initially, we arrived in Fukuoka on field. I've already talked about that. But Andrew, you know, where are you? Andrew, you know our small apartment. Can you believe that it really started there? All of the things with less than the size of this stage, like this sort of area here. We took out the dining table, put it on our bed. We took out everything but the couch and the TV and set up some chairs. That's how it starts. But it goes on. It continues from that. And God blesses. And we moved into a purpose-built facility, and that has just grown the opportunities and the way we can touch and reach a community. We have university outreach. We go to a local university, and one of the teachers there is a friend of mine who has been inviting and bringing her classmates along to an open-air English school where we play football, kick a footy around, and sit down with some worksheets and go through some English. Really good relationships being built there. Waku Waku Life English Cafe. So we have a coffee machine. We got an espresso machine, you know, the Nespresso ones, which is great. We've got people coming in off the street who see the sign, sitting down, English conversation and chat. We have a kids' fun time that started with one kid and a missions team from Melbourne. And now, through word of mouth of how good it is to have English lessons for kids, teaching kids about God in English as English lessons. seeds, more seeds, starting with kids. And now we have 9 kids in the last session. And when we go back, I'm not sure how many have booked in already, but I'm sure we'll probably get at least the 9 that we had last time and probably more. Praying for more. Discipleship and leadership development. We're passionate about the Word of God and seeing seeds of the Word of God scattered into people's hearts. Because of busyness in Japan, people struggle. And so women, the women's group are able to get together once a month, but the men, they dedicate themselves to work and it's almost impossible. So we've reconfigured church. Who knows that we shouldn't just lock things in the way they are because that's the way it should always be. We go and we say, God, you know, we know the need. We know how, you know, it should be done. How can we do it better? And so now we have groups after church sitting down, discussing and teaching, preaching and teaching, left and right hand gloves. What else do we do? Community outreach. We have church development and planting. So we've established an organization in Japan through the missions office has given us permission to do this so that we can... 10 minutes. Okay, I've got 10 minutes. So up until 10 o'clock is okay? Okay. So we have started an organization which allows for church planting in Japan, which allows for visas to bring people into Japan, which allows for Bible college to start in Japan, which we're now starting to organize and put together because we have leaders in the church that need to rise up, that are becoming, having a call of God on their life for ministry, and we need Bible college in Japan. There's no Bible college on the southern island of Japan. There's no none that we can find, especially nothing that's a Pentecostal persuasion. So we're going to be the first in offering a Bible college in Japan. We want to grow the missions heart. So our church, our DNA of our church is missions. Even though we're still fundraising for certain needs in the church, we have started the need and desire in people's heart to give to missions. And we're supporting the groves in Africa. And we're supporting Messenger Rescue. I keep forgetting the name. Messenger Rescue, which saves people from sex trafficking around the Asia region. And people are getting it. In fact, a little bit too much, because our last missions offering was greater than our regular offering, and I'd like to switch the buckets, personally. But I can't do that. Who knows, you can't do that. You go, maybe they thought it was the other bucket. No, you can't do that. So they were blessed. We were blessed to be a blessing. And we also have a music ministry. One of our young guys has started a jam session on Wednesday nights, bringing his university friends along into the church and talking to them and sitting down and chatting with them. We had the Consulate General in Fukuoka approach us and say, hey, I've got a need in the prison. One of the Aussies did a dumb thing and he's stuck in prison and he's seeking God. Can you bring him a Bible? Amen. I don't need a bigger invitation than that. Now we have prison ministry. We preach to the guard. We have to translate, so we bring a translator along and she's preaching to him. And it's like, great, fantastic. And now his heart's so on fire and radically transformed that we're sending bilingual studies, we're sending bilingual Bibles into Fukuoka prison. Praise God. Praise God. But there are challenges along the way. You know that? Our girls, you know, they're amazing, but their transformation, they're actually just as much missionaries as we are because we've been planting seeds. They go to Hoikuen and they preach literally to the kids, do you know Jesus? Wherever they go, do you know Jesus? He's the best guy. He's our superhero. So literally our girls are going into the schools and hoikuens and literally preaching how good God is and scattering seed. Okay, last point. We have some people coming to Fukuoka. We have Zach. He's a young guy from WA. He is a university student about to study language and then music just down the road, and he's going to be a part of what we're doing now. And so I'm so proud that WA is sending a wonderful young man like this, so on fire, so passionate, and with such a calling on his life. And we also have another family on track to join us later on in the year. So it's about team too. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about Fiona. It's about team. It's about scattering seeds into people's hearts and lives, raising people up to be who they're called to be in Christ. It's about all of that, and you are part of the team. you and each and every one of you are an invaluable part of the team. I'm not some big preacher guy up here. It could be you. You know, God's just done this in my life because he's brought me from A to B to C to D, and I've allowed him. Will you allow him? Will you allow him? Will you go from A to B, or will you get stuck and say, nope, I like it where I am. I think I've got good. Because there's good, and then there's God. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much.